Welcome to the Sorry I Offended You podcast. This is an audio version. By the way, my name is Brandon Marshall Havener, if you did not know. I'm recording this in my car, and yeah, if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you'll understand it. But this is a more just me vibing on my phone and something that I quickly wanted to get off of my dome. And that rhymed because I got to rhyme it and time it. But anyway, today I want to talk about mystery offers. And before I talk about mystery offers, I want to offer my mystery offer that is coming out next week. The price is only going to be $50,000 pay in full. I'm not telling you what it is, but I am assuming that if you love me, then you will fucking buy it right now because you only have fucking 12 hours to buy it. No, 11 hours. 11 hours to buy it if you want to buy my mystery offer. But anyway, jokes aside, today I am talking about mystery offers. I am not going to name names in this podcast just for legal reasons. However, I have mentioned the names that I'm referring to before. Rebecca has worked with said coach before. It's kind of obvious. But the person who has really made, I guess, mystery offers popular in the coaching industry, I think is pretty fucking obvious who did it. Now, I want to say that this is something I might agree with the HR department coaching call. Like, there's things I agree with the HR department coaching call. And with that being said, if you want my balanced take on sort of the battle between the coaches that are really fucking scam artists, in my opinion, versus the HR department, I feel like I really gave a nice balanced approach on my last episode. And that actually was originally recorded for my other podcast, Consciously Defiant. But it's also on this podcast on the last episode of this one as well. So you can find that on both things. So anyway, what I wanted to say here is my thoughts about mystery offers. Now, I made a joke about it in the past, and I also think that sometimes it's not so cut and dry. There's nuance to everything, and I sort of disagree with when someone takes a surface level strategy or method or concept of life and paints a broad brush and saying that everyone who uses it is evil or a scam artist. And it's like, but did you really go into the dynamics of their business? So like, I've seen people criticize manifestation, and yes, you can use law of attraction and manifestation to manipulate people into, you know, you can twist it around just like many things. You can even use, you know, you can use the method of projection to manipulate relationships. Like if they say something's legitimately wrong and you are being an asshole, you could just be like, well, you're just projecting, and you can use that to gaslight. That doesn't mean that the concept of projecting doesn't exist. You know, I've seen critics talk about the harm of saying quantum leap. So, but that's unfair to say that everyone who used the term quantum leap is a scammer, right? You know, you could use that methodology to trick somebody or to, you know, get a large quantum amount of money out of them and tell them that you're going to help them quantum leap. And then there's, you know, actually kind of avoiding the reality of grit and determination and putting in labor. But that doesn't mean that the ability to quantum leap in your business doesn't exist, right? But, you know, there's ways that that can be manipulated. But that doesn't mean to cancel everyone who uses a term quantum leap in their marketing. Anyway, I digress. I made a joke about mystery offers a while back. And quite frankly, I think there is a lot of bullshit around it. But there is nuance there. And people have shared how they enjoy mystery offers and they enjoy playing that game. But there needs to be nuance. There needs to be clarity on what you're doing when you entertain a mystery offer. So, for instance, if Rebecca and I were working with a coach and that coach released a mystery offer and we just liked everything that they were dropping down, and the mystery offer was $200, right? For us in our situation, and the knowledge that we may have around that coach or the relationship that we have with that coach, doing a mystery offer with that person for $200 probably wouldn't be a big deal, and there'd probably be value there. However, I want to give another extreme of the example based off a clip that I saw, and this is why I want to keep the name anonymous, because I don't want to deal with any legal troubles. I saw this disturbing fucking video, a disturbing clip of a well-known coach saying that she just got out of the fucking shower and she frantically washed her hair like 3 times or some shit, and her guides were talking to her. And she had to stay in the shower. And by the way, she's like late on the call in a fucking robe and whatever. Like, it doesn't matter. But she was making a big deal about it. Like, I'm in my robe and blah, 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 blah. And I frantically got out of the shower and I don't even have makeup on. And oh my God, I'm naked under this robe. And I'm like, yo, it's not that big of a fucking deal. Chill the fuck out, lady. But here's the thing. She then goes to say that she stayed in the bathroom taking a shower and like built up all this excitement and saying this is the craziest thing that she ever witnessed, or, you know, washing her hair 3 times was the craziest fucking thing she saw in her life or some shit. And then she fucking goes that her download that she got from her guides to tell her to keep washing her hair was to fucking open up a mystery offer that cost $10,000. And she was telling her fucking, she was telling her fucking team to put together PayPal links. And this, apparently this was like some Q&A video. So it's like, you come on a Q&A video and your fucking coach goes and says like, I got a $10,000 offer. I'm not fucking telling you what it is. I just want the money. Like, that feels a bit off. Now, granted, for one thing, I think it's just a fancy, elegant way to make you seem like this perfect divine person who's speaking to God. And this is just my opinion. A perfect divine person speaking to God instead of just being fucking honest and saying, yo, I was running late for a call and I had to take a quick shower. I didn't have the time to put makeup on. Like, you could have just fucking said that. That's just my opinion. I wasn't there to witness it. I don't know what really happened, but that's the perception I get. It's like, yo, did you just try to sugarcoat and make an upsell out of you being late to a fucking call? So anyway, that happened, and some other shit in the clip where, you know, there was like this kind of like someone experiencing real trauma, and she just told her to, like, you know, basically gaslit her and told her to just like deal with the trauma and put it into the motivation of your business or some dumb shit like that. But I wanted to point that out because, and I also wanted to put a caveat here. Even $10,000, for some people, that's not a big fucking deal, right? If they're like, yo, I love this coach and, you know, I trust this coach and blah, 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 and they got this offer and I want to work with them regardless, and I got, you know, that's more disposable income for me at this time. Like, I do agree, money is abundant, but I think people are in different situations. Like, you can't always snap your finger and manifest abundance like some coaches say. Like, to get access to abundance, you have to, you know, for a lot of people, you have to unravel a lot of limitations and shit. And it's not always as easy as writing it down in a journal or putting it on a vision board and telling that manifestation to come tomorrow. Like, for some people, they've developed themselves in that way. They've developed their business strategically and their mindset to the point where they can manifest money quickly. But that's not the story for a lot of people. So, sure, is a $10,000 mystery offer not horrible for some people? For sure. But who it is horrible for is a fangirl who has three children. And they keep being told to invest on their edge, invest on their edge, invest on their edge. They already invested in thousands of dollars and they haven't gotten the ROI on that money yet. And they have to dip into their kids' college fund or some shit in order to pay a coach, in order to join some fucking mystery offer because they're told to just leap and take some faith. That's where it becomes, may I say it, quote unquote, I got to put quotations around it because I just hate the fucking term, but it is problematic, right? So that's my take on mystery offers. There's nuance there, but when it is your business and you take your business serious, do you want to be gambling? Right? And this is kind of like the concept of what I talk about, where I think what's missing in the coaching space is learning how to build real wealth. And I find it very contradicting to be able to build real wealth if you're learning to make these record months, but you're also learning to constantly invest on your edge. You know, there's nothing wrong with keeping a low overhead. And I know some of the objections here because I've been through it and Rebecca's been through it. What I want to say is, no, you don't need a coach to continuously make money. I think that's one big one where it's like, if I let go of a high ticket coach, does that mean I'll stop making money? Does that mean I will lose the codes? Because if you're sold the idea that you're investing to be in someone's proximity, then you're also promoting the idea, or possibly promoting the idea, that once you're outside of that proximity, you'll lose your magic and you won't be a high earner anymore. So I want to note that as well. Take it back to the basics and understand that a lot of the shit that might be passing in the coaching industry, you know, you've got to take it with a grain of salt, right? There's many people I've seen behind the scenes where they come into a container and they have this financial trauma where it's like they're making a lot of money, but at the same time, their money is being leached upon. And there's many circumstances that I've been through, where Rebecca's been through, and I've seen other people been through that coaches don't talk about. Like, yes, you can join. And you can definitely benefit from being in somebody's energy. That doesn't necessarily mean just to do that. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I don't know why I come up with this observation, but it's kind of like real estate. You don't want to buy a piece of real estate just in hope that the market will go up. If you're a real estate investor, you want to buy a piece of real estate that is already showing the potential of positive cash flow if you rented it out or if you flipped it in the next however months. Not, oh, in 10 years, maybe this property will go up and maybe I'll make a profit. And that's, I don't know if you get the analogy or not, but that's what I feel the analogy is when people hire a coach, of like, if I'm in their energy, rather than looking at what is the structure of this program, how is it taught? Is this the best way for me of being taught in that way? Is this what I need? Do I need a one-on-one coach? Do I need a group coaching container? Do I need a masterclass? Do I work better in a digital program? I'm not even going to say any are better than the other. Like, some people can argue that one-on-one coaching is better than a digital product, but maybe you're just in the season that you need a digital program. Like, you know, there's nothing wrong with that either. But anyway, I digress. That's where I feel the problem is with the mystery offer. Because the more and more you master stuff and more you go along in learning things and things of that nature, like you got to get more specific of what you're going to get out of a program, you know, and maybe that's just advice for everyone where it's like, you need to know if this is taught in the best way possible. Like if you're paying, for instance, if you invest $10,000 into a mystery offer and that $10,000 means a lot to you. And for right now, at least, even though money is abundant, that sources are limited for you. You know, money feels a lot more abundant to me now than it did in 2017. In 2017, I knew in theory money was abundant, but it sure shit wasn't abundant around me. Like I was, you know what I mean? So if you're in that position where $10,000 means a fuck ton, then you don't want to expend all $10,000 of that on a fucking 90-minute masterclass, right? And when you invest $10,000 into a mystery offer, not saying that they'll do it, but that person on the other side can easily say, hey, yo, I decided this $10,000 thing will be a masterclass, but it's awesome because it's quantum leaping you. We're just collapsing time. The time doesn't matter, but it actually does matter for you if you're in that position and $10,000 means a lot and you invest in a $10,000 masterclass with no replay. You know what I'm saying? So that's where it fucking matters and there's nuance to everything. But I just wanted to point that out. It was kind of a weird and disturbing clip that I saw. And I know I go, you know, I speak about the HR department, but I also speak about some of the practices, and I think both are valid. I think there's a balance here. You don't want to go in an extreme pendulum swing to think that every coach is this way or to lose yourself so much to validate going around bullying people. You know, something that I posted from, I reposted a post from Ash Rising, and I think it's her. I think she's from North Carolina, just like that, what's her name? Kelly Germain girl in the Reddit thread, so Ash Rising posted this thing and, you know, she was saying something along the lines of, you know, coaches are public figures and they don't get to complain about bullying, right? Meanwhile, she limited the comments on that post. I'm like, okay, well, aren't you kind of a public figure and you limited comments on your post to not risk getting bullied? Like, don't people, quote unquote, have a right to bully you? And no, I don't believe in bullying, but it's like you're not open to any feedback to test your ideas that you're putting out in the world and demanding people to follow in order to be ethical. And then she goes along the lines of suing people. You know, it's like, you know, you can get sued, blah, blah, blah. And my response that didn't get responded to because these anti-coaches act like I'm Voldemort. You know why they act like I'm Voldemort? Because I don't have any dirt. Like I don't have anything, any malpractice in my coaching. And I can point out their bullshit and they don't want to, you know, sharpening iron is very hard. You know, iron sharpens iron. But when you're on that pedestal and you feel that virtuous, you don't want your ideas to be tested, right? That's really life-threatening. So they don't want it. But my response is, okay, if it's a scamming coach, then why not fucking sue them instead of ganging up on them and making Reddit threads and going after them? That's not all I said on the story, but I'm kind of adding on to it. So that's just my thoughts there. And that's my thoughts about, you know, the possibility of being scammed in the coaching industry and things of that nature. You know, there's been bad experiences Rebecca had. There's bad experiences that I had. But it would be, I think, obviously, I've said something about it on this podcast. But I think it'd be a waste of time to build my whole entire brand about how much I hate the coaching industry. I think it's awesome to speak up. But I think if too much of the focus goes on tearing something down, or if you don't wrap it up, you know, if you don't wrap the message up in like, this is a takeaway of how you can take personal responsibility in your own life and be empowered in your own life. I just think it creates this community of victims and pitchforks of trying to tear people down with getting moral victories instead of actual victories in your life, instead of actually fulfilling your life. Like, you know, I feel a lot more fulfilled that I don't join in on the cancel culture train of thought that maybe I did back in 2017 when I got caught up into that ideology for a short period of time. And if you want more details about that, check out the last episode as well. That's where I talked about me being woke Brandon Marshall Havener, and it's also on Conscious Defiance as well. So anyway, that's my word for today. Thank you for listening to this quick audio, and let me know your feedback and all that good stuff. Give me a 5-star review if you haven't yet. I think you can do it on iTunes. You can do it on Spotify now. So if you're listening on those platforms, just give me a rating and share this with your friends if you feel compelled to. And another thing, I think I joked about a future offer that I had, but I don't think I said what it was. I'm doing another live round of Fuck Cancel Culture, and it's going to be fucking awesome. And I think I'm just going to, you know, I'm putting a new coat of paint on it right now as we speak, but it will be out next week, the first week of October 2022. So stay tuned for that as well. Thanks for listening, and until next time.